Well, we all like birthdays, especially when we were young. And then as we got older, we liked the presents and the parties. But as we got older, then we longed to be 16, and then 18, and then 21, because they were significant years. But then, of course, as we get older still, 30, 40, 50, 60, we're perhaps less keen to celebrate birthdays. I mean, my sister-in-law forbade. At last, of course, we reach 70, 80, 90. And then we're pleased to celebrate long life. And at 100, of course, we will receive a telegram from the Queen, or perhaps, if we live that long, from the King. Today, though, we celebrate the Church's birthday, nearly 2,000 years old. And God's birthday gifts to the Church come through the Holy Spirit. Gifts of speaking about Jesus, healing and caring, providing for others, producing God's character in Christians, like patience and faithfulness, self-control, but most of all, love. The birthday of the Church, Pentecost today, saw the wind of the Spirit and tongues of fire. Here was a vivid demonstration of God at work, which they rejoiced in. They rejoiced, didn't they? A wonderful charismatic experience, and they vowed to become members of this splendid, lively group rather than the local synagogues of which they were a part. Well, not quite. They all spoke in other languages, and everyone from all those countries that Helen faithfully read out to us, they were present and they understood what was being said in their own language. They understood what was being said about God. And Peter preached a powerful sermon to the crowds, proclaiming the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And then he invited the crowd to repent and to be baptized and to receive the Holy Spirit themselves. Then those who gave their lives to Jesus sought to understand more about Jesus. They ate together. They prayed together. They shared their wealth with each other. They sold their property and provided for the poor. And the Church grew. Yes, well, not quite the typical English church. We'll think more about that in a moment. The first car that Sheila and I bought together was a brand new minivan. The price was £405. Don't we wish for a different time? We next bought a Mini Cooper. We got £395 for the minivan after 12 months. That doesn't happen these days either. And we bought our Mini Cooper for £560. Now, the Mini was synonymous with Britishness. It was an iconic car. Everyone knew what it looked like. And it brought very strong feelings amongst people of what it meant to have such innovative and inventive car manufacturers. It featured in the such films as The Italian Job with Michael Caine. But nevertheless, the company began to struggle towards the end of the 20th century, and it went bust in 2000. It was revived a year later when BMW gave the classic car a new modern twist with a much, much higher price. A revived car. Well, today we celebrate being the revived people of God. The first verse of a hymn by Elizabeth Ann Porter Head has these words: O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church, which is being formed into Christ's body, Christ for the world. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, speaks about everyone in the church, every part of the church, being baptized in one Spirit. All have gifts. All have a role to play in the mission of Christ. In our second reading, we heard Jesus' promises about the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things. And through the Holy Spirit, we will be able to do even greater things than Jesus. In Luke's account of the church's birthday in Acts chapter 2, the significant words are all and each. They were all together. They all had tongues of fire rest on them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we also have the word each. Each one of them experienced, each one of them was able to speak, each was able to understand what God was saying. And then perhaps the most significant word of all comes in the last word of that reading. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All, each, everyone. This is the Old Testament prophetic promise that comes through the prophet Joel. It is also Jesus' promise, and it is the experience of the infant church. At the birth of the church of Pentecost, Peter told the story of Jesus' life and ministry, his crucifixion and his resurrection, all of which demonstrated who Jesus is. And Peter concludes with a stark and a challenging message, which we might paraphrase in these words. Let everyone be sure of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you have ignored, both Saviour and Lord. And the crowd, having heard the gospel message, said, well, so what do we do? And Peter's answer was straightforward enough. He said, believe the message. Take God at his word. Recognize our mess, our flawed and damaged lives, our flawed and damaged relationships, and express real sorrow, real regret for past mistakes and failings, and set our minds on putting things right and change the way we live. The challenge is to die to self, to live for Christ, and to know God's presence with us in all things and at all times. And then this God who we invite into our lives, invites us to share his vision for the world and for human living, invites us to dream with him his dream for the world, invites us to join with him in his transformative revolution for the human race, welcomes us into his party, celebrating the goodness of creation, invites us to trust in his promises, draws us into the future that he is preparing for the whole universe, and assures us that nothing can separate us from his love, which is ours in Christ Jesus. So we're invited into God's family, invited to share God's best way of living. Pentecost opens up the way of life in the Spirit. It is renewal. Now, renewal is not about new words. It's not about new songs. It's not about new worship, certainly as some of my friends in other churches would believe. It's actually about new lives. It's the reality that says, danger! God is at work here. It's the expectancy that I saw in Brazil of arriving early, sitting at the front, excited that God was going to do something. Of course, in the UK, and especially my experience in Baptist churches, is that we arrive late, we sit at the back so that we can get out quick in case God actually does turn up and do something. It's that sense of fellowship and community that I experienced in El Salvador, where a church member suffered torture and spent 2 years in prison simply because she refused to tell the authorities who the other members of her church were. Or it's the evangelism marked by vision and sacrifice that I saw in Nepal. A paraplegic who became a Christian through the witness of a pastoral carer in the hospital where he was being treated. Unable to find a church with wheelchair access in Kathmandu, he started a fellowship for disabled people. And in 5 years, that church grew from a handful to a congregation of over 150, mostly poor, many of whom were disabled, and some former alcoholics. Without our birthday present, without the Spirit's power and presence in our lives, how will we preach, or teach, or evangelize, or witness, or serve? Love the unlovely. Be full of joy and peace. Be self-controlled in the face of all sorts of awkward folk, like us. But in Christ, renewed by the church's birthday present of the Holy Spirit, we can join the party celebration. We can share the vision. We can enter the mission. We can know the promises. We can read the story. We can be part of God's transformative revolution. We can be part of the family of God. This is the birthday celebration for kingdom people. This is the birthday celebration for God's revolutionary church, whose lives are transformed and who are transforming the communities in which they live as they follow Christ in the power of the Spirit. May it be so. Amen.